Guru's blessings impossible also becomes possible. So Swagatam in Sanskrit, Swagatam in Hindi, Nalvaravu in Tamil and Welcome in English are all synonyms to cordiality, goodwill and warmth. Here then is Sri V. Shankar, Chairman of the Governing Council of the Vidyalaya, to formally welcome the August gathering.
గోవింద దేశికా ఉపాస్య శిరాయ భక్త్యా తస్మిన్ స్థితే నిజమాహిని విదేహ ముక్త్యా అద్వైత్య భాష్యం ఉపకల్ప దిశో విజిత్యా కాంచీపురే చితం అవాపతా శంకరాయ ప్రతిశృతి పురాణానాం ఆలయం కరుణాలయం నమామి భగవత్పాద శంకరం లోకశంకరం అపార కరుణా సింధు జ్ఞానతం శాంతరూపిణం శ్రీచంద్రశేఖర గురుం ప్రణమామి ముదమ్యహం సదాశివ సమారంభా శంకరాచార్య మధ్యమాం అస్మదాచార్య పర్యంతం వందే గురు పరంపరా. విత్ బెనిడిక్షన్ టు ఆది శంకరాచార్య అండ్ టు హిస్ లీనియేజ్ అప్ టు ద 69th ఆచార్య ఆఫ్ ది వెనరేటెడ్ కామకోటి పీఠం పూజ్య శ్రీ జయేంద్ర సరస్వతి స్వామిగలు అండ్ ద 70th ఆచార్య పూజ్య శ్రీ శంకర విజయేంద్ర సరస్వతి స్వామిగలు, ఇన్ హూస్ బినైన్ అండ్ ఆగస్ట్ ప్రెసెన్స్ దిస్ ఫంక్షన్ ఇస్ బీయింగ్ హెల్డ్, ఐ రైజ్ టు అడ్రస్ యూ టుడే. It gives me great pleasure to welcome you all to this pleasant and solemn function organized this evening on the eve of the 119th birth anniversary for Pujya Shri Chandrasekharendra Saraswati Swamiji, the 68th Shankaracharya of the venerated Kamakoti Bijam, to name the Veda Padashala in Sri Kanchi Mahaswami Vidyamandir after one of the celebrated sons of this country, one of the illustrious sons of this land, Dr. L.M. Singh. It is an era which is dominated by play for pounds, as they call it in Britain, or donation for name plates, as they call it in India. This function graduates far, far away from those conventional names of norms of naming institutions. It is a genuine reflection, a manifestation of the abiding interest that we have in the great sons of this country who had perpetuated the greatness of this land, the holy traditions of this land. In the league of those great men comes Dr. L.M. Singhvi, whom we remember today by naming this Pathshala after him. It is therefore an expression of gratitude to this great son of this country. It's a firm belief that countless number of students who pass out from the portals of this institution shall draw inspiration not just from the name of Dr. Singhvi, but be also be blessed to carry forward the legacy of this land, and as they shape the destiny of this land in the years ahead, they should be effective as Dr. L.M. Singhvi was doing this during times. Exactly 2 years before, on the 4th of June 2010, the entire complex, the Vedic block, were consecrated to the blessed hands of the Shankaracharyas of Kanchi. And 2 years later, we are giving it a name. The Mahaswami of Kanchi had grave apprehensions during this time about the state of education. This institution of ours is an humble step forward in giving expression to those fears that the Mahaswami had that we could give an answer to that. We wish we had done it during these living times, better late than never, that we thought that the greatest tribute that we can pay to the sage of Kanchi is to relive all that he said during these living times. The Mahaswami used to wonder, given the state of the social type of living that we have and the type of education that is being imparted in this country, whether at all the children of this blessed land of ours will ever imbibe the social and the spiritual values of this blessed land. The Mahaswami used to observe that the education that is being given during his time was no different from the education that was given either in the medieval times or even in the ancient times. What has really undergone a change according to the Mahaswami was the manner and the form in which education was being delivered. And the Mahaswami in his discourses used to give a simile. He said the medicine that is being administered is absolutely the same, but the contraindications, the limitations of administering the medicine, and those restrictions on the usage of medicine are not being followed, the very same medicine will become a poison. And that exactly has happened to the state of education in the country. The sage of Kanchi went further and said that the Gurukula system of education had stood the test of time. It had reinforced the commitment in the culture of this land. But Mahaswami was practical, as all of us know. We knew 200 years of mystery that Lord Macaulay gave to us in those celebrated 1832 address, which gave the English Anglicization of education in this country, cannot be overturned even by 100% reform process in this country. The Mahaswami therefore was practically enough to say that much as we would continue the relics that the British have given unto us, some of which will be relevant in the contemporary times ahead, it would also be necessary that we integrate ancient education into the mainstream education. He went further and exhorted his devotees and said, just as we keep things in the museum, let's have at least some schools of the Gurukula type and the various parts of the country, so that the generation next and the generations that follow will at least get a glimpse of what education in ancient India was, and how was it able to realize the fruits of education. It is Mahaswami's belief that in the Gurukula system of education, where the teacher and the taught stayed together, it was beyond the teaching. And therefore, it instilled, fostered in the taught, a sense of bhakti, a bhakti which was an antidote for all the evils in the society, one that was a panacea for all the ills that plagued the society, and more importantly, one that would have made the education system that was imparted by the Guru, who also was a beneficiary of the services rendered by the taught, more relevant to the taught. This blessed land of ours is a living mystery, my dear friends, which spans several millennia. Westerners have always wondered, what is it that has kept this nation united, despite all those miscellaneous tendencies, those divisive elements that seem to have adopted this society, those languages that we have, those religions that we practice, those castes that all come to us. This ancient land of ours has got 18 major languages, 1,600 minor languages and dialects, 6,400 castes and subcastes, 52 major tribes, 6 major religions, 29 states, 7 union territories. I don't know the count if they have increased, all rolled and fused into one called as Bharat or India. Mark Twain called it as the cradle of human civilization, the birthplace of human speech, the mother of history, the grandmother of tradition, and the great grandmother of legend. If similarly there is one cause that we can identify in history that was instrumental, that was responsible for the unification of this land, despite the balkanization of several mighty powers across the globe, it is the culture of this land. And from that culture flew the education of this land. And therefore the ancient education too had a role to play in the unification of this blessed land of ours. Dr. Lakshmimal Singhvi was a man far ahead of his times. He was the one who observed in India. In fact, he was an amalgam of all those virtues that we were expected to be endowed in a human being. And therefore, he was a perfect human being in that sense of the term. He was an author. He was a poet. He was a linguist. He was a jurist. He was a constitutional expert. He was a humanist, a champion of universal brotherhood and love, a person who was proficient in Sanskrit, an authority on Rig Veda, and more importantly, a man of ancient art, fine art, and literature. Beyond all these things, he was also a skillful diplomat, a parliamentarian with exciting, unbelievable, enviable debating skills, powered by an analytical mind, which analyzed every issue before him rationally and never bent on partisan lines or ones based on prejudices or pride. Small wonder we remember such a man today. And therefore, when we remember Dr. L.M. Singhvi, we are remembering the greatness of this man. This institution was started with the inspiration of the Sage of Kanchi. But the Sage of Kanchi also believed that in contemporary times, that the education that is being delivered in this country, for the matter all across the globe, is oriented to giving a livelihood to people. It's job-oriented. And therefore, in a scheme of education which ultimately provides only jobs, there is very little scope or space for Vedic education. So unless we integrate the Vedic education with the mainstream education and also find a place for it, sooner or later, it will demise. The 1300 odd shakas that comprise the four Vedas, today we have reduced it to 11 shakas,
which also are on the verge of being fossilized and transferred to the archives of this land of ours. It is only by a concentrated effort of integrating mainstream education with Vedic education shall we ever think it possible to survive this land that the Mahaswami ignited all during his living times, 87 years of his Mahakuta, that he spread the cause of Vedas, that we can sustain it. Dr. L.M. Senghi was a champion, no less than the Mahaswami, for this type of education. In fact, of the several correspondents that he used to write to me, he used to write by hand. His hand, even at the age of 72, 73, when he used to correspond with me, I was fortunate that at the last leg of his life journey, the last decade of his life, sojourn, I had the benefit of knowing him. The more you know him, the more you will appreciate him, the more you will understand him, the more you will envy him, the more you will think of the greatness of this man. Oliver Goldsmith was not wrong when he said in the late schoolmaster, of the schoolmaster when he says at the end, I don't want to quote the entire thing, it's a wrong one to go, how much can this small head carry, he says. That was typical of L.M. Senghi. How much could that small head carry? Everything on the earth. There is no subject that you have left over that you would not get an answer from Dr. L.M. Senghi. And in the several correspondence that he used to make to me, I was also privileged to get a share of the erudition and scholarship of Dr. L.M. Senghi. Whenever he used to make an address in any of those world for us, he was a universal man. He was not one who was limited by boundaries or by narrow limitations of caste, region, country. In fact, he had gone beyond, his mind was so expansive that he had gone much, much beyond that. The true sense of Upanishad term, he was that person that the Vedas have said, I am Vijaha Parovedi, Gananam Lavuchetasam, Udhara Charitanam Tu, Vasudeva Kumpakam. We won't speak that the world is a family, but we practice all that does not make the world a family. But Dr. Senghi was an ardent devotee of globalization. He always used to exhort people, say in his addresses, that we should think globally, but we should act locally. There is nothing in life which is local which cannot be global. And there is equally so, conversely, there is nothing in life which is local which cannot be global. And therefore, he exhorted people to believe that we should think globally, but when it comes to acting, customize it to the needs of the land. Most of the contemporary words that we use in today's parlance and the ones that have entered into the drawing rooms of most of our houses were the ones, some of them, most of them were coined by Dr. L.M. Senghi. Very few people would know about the greatness of this man in relation to these acronyms, these nomenclatures. He left his imprint on social legislation, on habeas corpus, on ombudsman, on pre-legal aid, on public interest protection. There is nothing in the jurisprudence that he had left over to leave his footprints in the sense of time. And in the year 1963, he coined for the first time the two words, the Lokpal and the Lokayukta. Half a century later, or to be precise, 49 years later, we are still grappling with the vision that he had envisioned for the office of the Lokayukta to bring in and into a sense of accountability, including his son who has been fighting through the committees of the parliament to bring an office of accountability, but that the word of the Loka Ekta and Lokpal were brought into being, into the dictionary by Dr. L.M. Senghi. I don't know how many people know about it. He was a champion of human rights, but fiercely independent. He adored Madam Indira Gandhi during her times. But in the year 1975, when she suspended the public rights, imposed emergency, and momentarily suspended the habeas corpus, Dr. L.M. Senghi reacted the way nobody else would have reacted. He changed his farmhouse name. It was Ekant. It was solitude, peace. He changed it into habeas corpus. Sending home the signal to Madam Indira Gandhi, however close I can be to you, I don't cherish what is being done. The word Bharat Vamshi that we hear, persons of Indian origin, were again coined by Dr. L.M. Senghi. PIO has entered into the statute books of the Government of India, thanks to the first time when he created the World Forum, where he said, Bharat Vamshi,
People of Indian origin, persons of Indian origin, the dual citizenship, the seeds of thought that were being put in, were put in during the 1960s, and for the first time he conceived this very thought. He was a champion of conservation of environment. In one of his addresses in the United Nations fora, not the direct United Nations, he coined for the first time the word ecocide. And he said, genocide is an onslaught on a section of people, on a community of people, or on a class of people. Ecocide is genocide on the entire humanity. Not only that, it alters the balance of nature. This was the greatness of Dr. Ellen Sidney. He never left anything behind but the class that he belonged to. Of this, he used to send across all those speeches to me. The moment he used to deliver some of the speeches, he had come to me, even in the transcript stage, asking whether I have something to add. Who can add anything to the Jambavan's address? But then I felt pleasure that to a young boy, I was very young during those days, that he sent across to me to read. And sent even the final text to me. Erudition and scholarship were soaking, soaking in those addresses that Dr. Sidney used to be. Like the thread which holds on to the garland, those flowers that beautifully make the garland, I also became a thread in the ocean of knowledge of this great person and drew the fragrance from the person, remaining the thread which held on to all the ornaments that he gave to the world of literature, to the world of law, and to philosophy and understanding. On the 7th of December 2005, Dr. Sidney wrote a long literature. In my extra paragraph, I don't want to miss out the exact words that Dr. Sidney wrote. I don't want to labor to read out the entire thing. Two lines I want to read out as to what he said there. In fact, for the first time in my lifetime, I brought something written because I don't want to say something which is not exactly what he said.
Camera
he wrote, wrote to me and he said, "My dear and esteemed Vishankar, with affectionate appreciation for sharing my visions and dreams and for being such an ardent and inspiring votary of the great sage of our times, the divine Paramacharya, whose grace abides in my life." That's what he said, that the grace of Paramacharya abides in my life. And then that later reiterated that the combination education that we are practicing here today, and told me that this is the vision for education in the 20th century, in the 21st century, and let's all work towards bringing this into being, this institution of ours. And before I come to this, his concern for migrant labor, I should not forget that, his concern for migrant labor who had gone to far-flung areas across the globe in distant lands in the world was to be seen to be green, was a champion of human rights, and he protected their rights as well. And then he used to always say, whatever they touched and turned, they did not find the gold, but whatever they touched, they turned it into gold. This was the case of migrant Indians, the plantation workers, those workers who went for a living, and the Karmabhumi where they had gone, which they had adopted as their hometown, they converted that into gold and an economic prosperity they brought into being. And therefore he championed their cause with unremitting attention, vigor, all through his life. He came to Mumbai on the 14th of February 2006 along with Kandasamy, and he gave the celebrated address, the centenary oration of the Mahaswami, and he spoke on the timeless heritage and the contribution of Mahaswami to the cause of Sanatana Dharma. Whosoever is present to listen to that address that day will believe and endorse what I say. Never before, never after can we get an address of the class, the manner in which it was delivered, and the power of which was packed to drive home not only the contribution to Mahaswami, but the greatness of the blessed land of ours. This monument that we have erected over here is a living expression to, as a tribute to the great sage of our country. Thanks to the pioneering efforts of the sages of Kanchi, we were able to see the light of the day exactly 2 years before when we brought this into being. Not only that, this is again a tribute to Dr. Ellen Sidney. And therefore, when I suggested to the sages that we should name this institution after Ellen Sidney, they said it took you so much time to think, you should have done before. On the same day when we inaugurated this building, I thought when we are inaugurating this building, it's called as Chandrasekhar Kanchi Mahaswami India Book, and therefore it was decided to name the Veda Pakshala after Dr. Ellen Sidney. Countless number of students who will pass out of the portals of this institution, I am sure,
will be doubly blessed, not only from the sage of Kanchi, and the sages of Kanchi who are present, and his benediction is always available, more importantly, of this person who is all-pervading, permeating, enduring, who will live in this campus and bless this children. The greatest tribute that you can pay to him is just not by putting a name like, putting his name and say we have named it after him. I think the greatest Shraddhanjali we can pay to the celebrated son of this country is to ensure that all that he tried to do in his living times, at least in relation to the culture of this land, at least in relation to the Vedic culture of this land, is realized during our times or in the generation next. And therefore, if this were to become a successful model, the sage of Kanchi and Dr. Ellen Sindhi will shower their grace on all of us so that we can make our lives sublime. Tennyson in his Elysee said that, friends, let's come together. It's not too late to change the world. That time beckons us. That time has come for us to reinvent the world order. The one that Dr. Ellen Sindhi envisioned during his living times, the Catholicity outlook that he had of a global village that he spoke about, that the Vedas had enshrined. And that let's begin the journey of getting into the unity of nations, being the most powerful nation that we should actually travel along. But at the same time, the Guru Bhumi that it is, that it shall provide education and sustenance to the world over. Let me come to the end of my address with the long Irish blessings. Ireland is known for its blessings. But then all blessings run into several pages. Let me just take the last two lines of one of those blessings and tell you. Until we meet again, may the Lord hold us in the bosom of his hands. Thank you and God bless you all.